Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are in the rocky start for April. We're going to do three shows. Today's April 12th, 2022.
Well, someone had a birthday, didn't they?
My last Tuesday was my birthday.
Yes, it was. And I celebrated without you.
How'd you celebrate?
I celebrated with a good friend. We'll talk about that in a second. At the club.
Oh, the club.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that because I have a bone to pick with somebody here.
Not me.
Oh, I have a bone to pick.
A bone.
Yeah. I got to tell you the story. You heard part of the story in between your yak burger discussion and the whole onslaught of Adams, Aruba, non-Aruba, going, not going, flight, vacation, work thing that he did, right?
Yeah, he ended up going to a Bitcoin conference. Yeah,
I was there the night before.
I believe that was his intent to begin with.
Oh, interesting. We're going to talk about that. But first of all, we have to mention that last month, March 2022, the first month up for markets, the first of the year, 2022, a pretty precarious start to the year in terms of equities, fixed income, risk assets in general. As a matter of fact, coming up later in the show is a chart that shows you just how bad it is with regard to the fixed income universe this year up till the end of March compared to other years. Pretty astounding. But since we last spoke and since your birthday, China is now clamping down further on Shanghai and Guangzhou and ports and all sorts of things going on there because there's like 1,000 people, which in China, that could multiply very quickly. But there's like 1,000 people. They don't know what to do. People are freaking out. They're running out of food. Inflation is still rising in the U.S. and around the world. We saw a big print today of 8.5% year over year. And I don't know if you had the chance to go on like Zillow and look at your housing values over the last 30 days. My house went up 12%.
I know.
In the last 30 days.
Yeah, we've been trying to buy some real estate in the area. And it's just like dog chasing its tail.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Congress got COVID.
Well, conveniently.
Well, I don't know what you were thinking, and I didn't hear this, but I thought it was really interesting right towards the Easter recess and the supposed trip that Nancy Pelosi was going to take to Taiwan. All of a sudden, she gets COVID.
How convenient.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, because the Chinese have made some assertions that they would be sorry if they visited Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And so Nancy took it to heart because when a congressman goes to Taiwan, it really upsets the Chinese because it's like, well, you actually think this is an independent country? They get bent out of shape about it. And so most of our congressmen knuckle under the Chinese desires and they don't go there. And so Pelosi was actually planning to go there. She wanted to go there. She has probably never been there. And they make a little shake of they ring a bell or something. And she all of a sudden gets COVID, even though she hasn't got any symptoms whatsoever and probably doesn't have COVID either.
Non-symptomatic. Everybody's got non-symptomatic. I don't know why we're so upset about that still, but oh well. We've seen some stock splits, some more companies trying to play that game. Latest was Shopify and GameStop. I don't remember if it was some last time. And Elon Musk is on the board of Twitter. He's off the board of Twitter in record time. It's actually over a weekend.
I don't know that he was ever confirmed to be on the board of Twitter. I think it was just assumed. I think the financial.
The CEO said that he was. The CEO said he was on it.
Yes, but I think he just assumed he was on it.
How could you just assume?
Well, if
that,
you're going to buy 10% of the company, we'll put you on the board, and then without asking him,
they were very smart. And we're going to talk about why that is. The board was really, really trying to outwit Musk on that deal by putting him on the board was actually a great move for Twitter. I'll explain why.
All right.
Market update. We got the same news. Yield curves, inversion across most of the curve. Earnings season starting tomorrow. We got JP Morgan and Delta tomorrow.
Every time we turn around earnings season.
I know. It seems like it's every quarter.
It's at least four times a year.
Right. Russian defaulting on foreign debt, some of it, and oil slides lower on massive release of the strategic petroleum reserves from not only the United States, but the IEA is releasing 120 million barrels over 6 months. Once again, I just like to bring up the fact that all of this oil, the million barrels a day by the U.S. for a number of months, and this this release by IEA is going to only do one thing, and that is in the future raise prices again.
Yeah. It's not going to do any good.
Let's see what else. 30-year mortgages hit 5.25%. So there you go. And one other point on yields. It is a little surprising to me. Actually, today, I wrote this right before all the numbers came out today. And when we saw the 8.5% print on inflation, bond yields were already creeping up towards 2.8% on the 10-year. But interestingly enough, even with that hot number, they reversed down. And what was really interesting was, I think, the reasons that is happening in first part of April, there was clearly a quarterly rebalance that should have moved money from stocks to bonds. But again, it didn't exactly happen that way as interest rates kept on going higher. I think that with all the issues around the world, the continuation of the war, Russia saying, or Putin saying, you know, screw you, this deal's going down until it's done. And beyond that, with China and with the things that are going on, it's just fascinating that bond yields kept on climbing and climbing. I mean, you would think maybe somebody would look for a safe haven, right?
I don't know.
So you heard about the events that Adam Curry, which you do co-host, of course, the show No Agenda on Thursdays and Sundays each week. This Sunday, you talked about that I had dinner with Adam and Tina at the club. You heard that on your birthday.
Yes, he said that they were trying to get to Aruba and they ended up in Florida.
Right. I did call you and I called your daughter's phone also, trying to get through to have a conference call so we could all say happy birthday to you.
Oh, that's what that was. Because my daughter said, yeah, you got a thing from Horowitz.
Right.
I said, when was that? And yesterday, you know, she tells me the day after. I said, oh, I don't know what that was about. I have no idea. And maybe thought we're supposed to do a show.
Yeah, maybe. So if you listen to Adam's commentary on the No Agenda this Sunday, it went something like this. Well, we ended up in Fort Lauderdale. And since we had nothing better to do, we called up the Horowitzes. That's a timestamp, 12 minutes and 51 seconds, if anyone is interested in checking. Okay?
Yeah.
We had nothing better to do, so we called up the Horowitzes. And we figured those lamos have nothing to do either, probably.
We had nothing better to do. We were bored stiff.
There
was nothing in the world, nothing that we could do. So we called up the Horowitzes because we figure. What do they got to do?
Nobody's going out with them, you know? So we went to the club. Took them to the club. All right? And
The yacht club.
I took them to the yacht club.
It's at the St. Lauderdale, Fort Lauderdale Yacht Club.
It's called the Lauderdale Yacht Club.
Lauderdale Yacht Club.
Beautiful, okay. Beautiful place. So I want to have a nice bottle of wine. They like wine. So I ordered this 2017 Silver Oak Cab.
That should be tasty.
Yep, two of those, right? We're all eating and drinking, having a great time, except for one person at the table. Adam. He's all red-faced. He's like jittery. He's like cold. He's got a full bowl of conch chowder right in front of him, a full glass of wine, not touched the entire evening. Well, we're ordering two bottles of wine, Tina, his wife, the keeper, and Jill and myself. We're just having a grand old time, and he's just sitting there shivering. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Turns out he has some kind of heat stroke or something.
Yeah, he talked about that a little bit on the show.
Right. I'm like, what is it? What's good? He said as soon as he walked in the yacht club, all of a sudden, he started like freezing. It is cold in there, I'll give you that. But I was like, okay. So there you go.
And he had conch chowder or something.
He didn't even eat it.
So rare. You never get that in Texas. You can't get that anywhere.
Yeah. Conch chowder every day on the menu.
It's a delicacy.
Every
day. It's a major, major delicacy.
Yep. So that was my evening with.
And he never had any of the Silver Oak cab?
He may have had a sip, but the rest of the glass sat because I know the three of us were drinking it like crazy. I ordered a second bottle. Yeah. We drank it right down.
Yeah, it's tasty.
So anyway, Adam, thank you. When I go to Texas, if in fact I'm bored, I'm going to call you up.
Yeah, be bored stiff with nothing better to do.
All right. So, you know, we have this potential for interest rates going higher and this big concern that, oh my God, oh, we have 8.5% inflation and oh, PPI is coming out tomorrow and this terrible thing is going on. Man, they may increase rates by 0.5% in the May meeting. People are freaking out. They're like jumping off bridges, screaming out of control, right?
Well, numbers are supposed to be horrible coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, and you said mass hysteria. That's something you've talked about, right?
Yeah.
Sri Lanka, the central bank there, doubled its key interest rate overnight, raising it by 700 base points to 7% in one shot on before the weekend. Hey!
Oh, that would freak out markets. Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to go out and stuff? Yep. Just want to let you know, party on, 700 basis point increase. What jerks. Big problem there. Big problem. This is off of the coast of, India?
Yes, that it used region? To be called Ceylon.
Ceylon, yeah. So this country was heavily dependent on travel and leisure. And during COVID, they got smashed. Nobody's going.
Of course not.
So they have no money left to pay for imports and fuel and power and food. And increasingly, medicines are in short supply. And they're like, you know what? We're not, number one, we're raising rates. Number two, we're not paying our foreign debt. We got no money. So they're defaulting along with Russia. Russia just defaulted on some bonds this week, too.
I'm sure the bankers are in love with these
which
guys.
Which leads me into, I thought you'd catch that, the JCD potential downturn, the cyclical disaster, and what is it going to be predicated by?
What?
What? Oh, yeah, I got to write all your, I got to write it all down. I got to write it. I got to write the whole script, I guess. Yeah, the bond collapse.
Oh, yeah, the big bond collapse that I've been waiting for what, how many years?
At least as long as I've known you.
Five? Ten? Well, not as long as you've known
me. No, probably 5 years. Probably 5 years.
Yeah, at least 5 years. At least.
So you're seeing that happening as we speak. We're starting to see little bits of this, right? Russia defaulting, China construction companies defaulting. Sri Lanka said, hey, we're challenging impossible to repay external debt. And sorry, not sorry.
So how do we take advantage of this as a market, in the market? What do you short? How do you take advantage of bond collapses?
I suppose if you did believe, well.
If you bought into it, let's say yes.
I suppose if you wanted to short bonds of maybe like European bonds in particular, if they're going to have a big problem, I mean, if we saw banks
have a bigger problem than we do, that's always the case.
Yeah, possibly you'd go after emerging market bonds, I suppose. You could do that through ETFs and you could short them. You may be able to, you can't short mutual funds, so that's a problem. So yeah, you would, if you want to go real big, you'd go and work this in the futures market somehow, but that'd be much more complicated. The easiest way to do it is to find an unhedged, if there is such a thing, which I'm sure there is, an unhedged European and an unhedged emerging market / country specific bond fund that you could short. That's how you do it.
Well, it sounds like a lot of work.
Well, it should be so easy. Just so be easy. Let me think, is there any companies that are, well, you could possibly short the banks. if there's exposure to those foreign bonds, banks will have them. Particularly like a Deutsche Bank or a Credit Suisse or...
Yeah, it'd be those guys, the same, the usual suspects. The
usual suspects. It was a big to-do today with Deutsche Bank, where Capital Group out of your neck of the woods, out of California, they... I went on a conference with them one time. I'm trying to think. The Checkers Hotel in... Is that L.A.? I think there's a Checkers Hotel in San Francisco.
I don't remember where that place is. Yeah, I don't think it's... Is it L.A. or...
I don't know. They put me up there one night. I remember meeting with...
San Diego? L.A.? I don't know where it is. Mm. Santa Monica?
Maybe. Somebody look up a Checkers Hotel in California. Anyway, they sold a big chunk of it, and the stock was down 8% today. So somebody's unloading pretty hard. For a bank or a mutual fund to actively unload that quickly and to upset the market in a way instead of...
You don't care.
...dishing it out and parsing it out. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, they don't care. They're like, freaked
get
out.
Me, yeah, get me out. I want out.
They
want
to get out before tomorrow's announcements, which may be worse than
exactly. Exactly. Earnings. We got earnings season is starting tomorrow, as I mentioned. First up are the transports, the financials. So we got this week Delta and JP Morgan. JP Morgan already has come clean with the fact that they had a counterparty interest in that whole doomed, disastrous nickel trade. Remember that? Where they had something.
Yeah, the one that were all canceled.
Right. Yeah, conveniently canceled. And so we have that coming out this week. Then you have Bank of America and Goldman. So it looks, if you look at the expectations for the airlines as an example, it looks like they're going to continue generally to have losses, but the losses are getting lighter. So that's a good thing. But they're still bleeding, which I find interesting after we're seeing things like JetBlue going to cancel a bunch of flights in the summer because they want to make things work smoother. I really didn't. Did you catch any of that news?
I caught it, but I don't know. I didn't go into any analysis of it, so I don't know what they're thinking. I think if they got some issues. Maybe they're running out of money.
Or maybe they have an issue with pilots and staff.
Oh, there is a pilot problem. This is true along all the airlines.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think that's why Curry's trip to Aruba was all screwed up because it was, you know, he was very careful not to book stuff at the end of the month where they always have pilot problems. But I think there's just a general problem because the pilots, I don't know, they're getting short-sheeted. They making them get vaccines and some of them just don't want to. They'll quit the business first. They get, you know, the vaccination thing didn't work out. I think they're treating the customers and the pilots like crap in these airlines. Although there's a lot of these fights and things that take place on flights now. But according to, I think Adam had a good explanation for that. He says you go to the airport, it's packed. They don't have enough TSA people. So you're backed up. You're lucky to get on the plane. And then you're beat up all the, you know, more or less. And you're not in a good mood. And you get into a beef with a stewardess because, you know, she looks at you cross-eyed.
And they don't give you booze. And a lot of planes still don't give you booze. Yeah. All you have to do is bring back the booze. And smoking on a plane, everybody will be very calm. Right?
I don't know about the smoking part. People aren't going to put up with that.
Do you remember that?
The booze. Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that if you had a seat that was in the smoking, it was one seat behind the non-smoking?
It was terrible. If you're not a smoker. I mean, if you're a smoker, it's like being in heaven. But
it was disgusting either way.
Yeah.
When you get on the plane and then you sit in a seat and the ashtray's full of crap.
Yeah.
Ugh. And those are the days that we used to wear a suit on the plane.
Yeah, people used to dress up to go on an airplane.
Yeah, you got
to
get dressed up.
Now they're wearing sandals.
Yeah.
Cutoffs.
Yep. So what else? Earnings season. So the airline's expectations are better, but still losses. Financial expectations for companies in that sector, really interesting. They're mixed. And when I did the analysis of what is going on and when I looked at all the company's expectations, historical and business makeup, looking at this quarter coming up, it looks like the companies that had the heaviest reliance on things like trading, fixed income issuance, fixed income trading, treasury trading, are expected to show a significant reduction. So you have like a JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs. Morgan Stanley being more asset-based fees, but still a lot of deals. And all the IPOs shriveled up. So when you look at that compared to a year ago, they are going to have some problems. But some of the consumer-related names look like the expectations are they're going to be faring a lot better. Things like a Bank of America or maybe even a Wells Fargo.
Wells.
Wells is one of the best performers this year.
It's unbelievable.
It's not really good. You know, they're not doing great, but they're if you can, on a relative basis, they look really good. Really, really good. So, what else do we got here? Ukraine, Russia? I don't know. I mean, I think the most amazing story this week that I heard, I don't know if you've talked about this or really gotten into this, but, you know, there's these reports that Ukraine is holding up pretty well, massive Russian casualties, and that reports are coming in that, number one, Putin's not going to back down. Number two, there could be some chemicals. We'll see about that. I think, I got to tell you something. Between me and you, nobody's listening, right? Between me and you, I think this Ukrainian CEO prime minister dude is a master at manipulation. I think he's got the West so well tied and knows our weak spots that he is working it so well.
Yeah, he's a guilt tripper.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't like him at all.
No?
In fact, I don't like the situation at all. This guy I don't like in the least with his tight T-shirt. Not a cheap T-shirt either. His tight T-shirt. He's in photo shoots all the time, and they're looking here, looking there, and he's always on some news show. And, you know, he's constantly begging for more stuff. I mean, the thing is, how much stuff did, I mean, you can't get the stuff to the people that need it fast enough, but you know, we need more, and we need it faster.
More sanctions.
I think they're bilking us. I think they're literally
something.
Bilking.
Something is.
I think it's going to go on the open market. All the stuff that we're giving them, billions of dollars of stuff, and it's going to go right out to who knows who. And it's just. I think we're just getting taken for a ride.
I mean, I will tell you that I'm 100% against this invasion. Right? There's no question. This is not good. Right? It's not. Yeah. There's nothing. There's nothing good to say. There's no redeeming. There's nothing. However, I also don't think that. The other dude is playing fair either. No, well, let me say it differently. Let me back that up. Not playing fair either. He's just not playing fair. It's different category. Totally different category. But I just find that, like I said, he knows that we are weenies, that the pleading and going on the news is going to evoke the West to be, you know, the atrocities, which there may be. But it seems like it's something's a little off, is my point. Would you agree with that?
Totally. The whole thing is seems scammish. I don't believe either side either. So
you can't believe anybody.
Don't believe anything you can hear.
Right.
They're both full of crap, and it's like, why are we even involved?
I think it's really interesting that weren't we withholding? Or didn't we have sanctions on Ukraine or something for a while?
No, if you remember during the first, you know, when we first, we're the ones that set Ukraine up in 2014. And then once there was, these kind of skirmishes took place between them and Russia. And during the entire Obama administration, and the Republicans made a fuss about this. During the entire Obama administration, they refused to send Ukraine any arms or money or anything. You're kind of on your own. And so when Trump got in, he made a big fuss about this, saying, we should be sending them stuff, you know, so they can protect themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they sent, they started sending him stuff. And now we're just throwing stuff at him.
That's crazy.
I think Obama had the right idea.
Mm-hmm. The other thing was that Europe recently backed down from immediately blocking Russian oil. China's not buying any more oil, but they're not sanctioning either. And they're going to continue buying the oil they're already committed to buy.
A lot of the oil is going to India at a discount.
Right.
India's taking all the Russian oil they can get at 25% off fair market value. So,
and the other thing,
can you resist? What a deal.
What a deal. And the other thing that's really interesting, did you see the story that Russia is looking to call back retired military personnel to restock their forces?
Yeah, I find this to be bull crap.
it seems like we just cannot get away from misinformation. Something that we've always hated the KGB for doing, right? Isn't that like the thing? Oh, you can't trust them. They're just, they will twist and turn and manipulate everything. That's not how we are. We're truthful.
Yeah, well, we haven't been truthful for some time, it seems. Right. Back into the 60s. Gulf of Tompkin, good example.
Hmm. What was that? Remind me.
That's a phony baloney attack that never happened. They got us stuck in the Vietnam War once and for all.
Oh.
And they would. And it was a phony. It was phony from the get-go. Everybody knew it was. Every report of the government denied. No. It actually happened. This actually happened. And it took about 25 years later, they admitted, well, you know, it worked out for the best. Hmm. They admit it was all BS.
That's the false flags where they come from, right?
Yeah. You do them yourself.
Do them. They have a do-it-yourself false flag kits on Amazon.
They have a kit. You can buy it.
Russian, as I mentioned, is defaulting. They defaulted on the foreign debt because it offered bondholders payments in rubles, not in dollars, and that's a big problem. So this is an issue now. According to S&P, a selected default is declared when any entity has defaulted on a specific obligation but not its entire debt. So you have like a in between, maybe I think it's defaulted. We're not buying it, but you're not paying it back because if you do in rubles, why bother paying it back if you're defaulting anyway? if I told you, hey, listen, I'm gonna declare you bankrupt and mark you as a bad payer and because you haven't paid me at this point. And if you pay me back, I'm not going to take off that mark. What's the point? Don't pay.
Yeah, there you go. That's exactly right.
Stupid people. Very stupid. China supply chain. Oh, we have problems here. Big internal issue where you talked about last week, the China manufacturer, the car, the electric car, NIO, right? Wasn't that a pick on the game or something?
Yeah. NIO.
Neil, so they said that they suspended production. Where, you know, because now in Shanghai, it's like you can't go out. Even if you don't have it, you are not allowed to go out because you could pass a building that somebody may have it in. And it would somehow come down 300 feet and attack you in the street, which is insane. And then you'll go back to your own building. So these companies just can't do business. Big problem with Apple. Several companies that make the iPhone and the iPad are shutting down. And I don't know, this kind of looks like a really weird way of China tariffing but not tariffing the rest of the world back.
I agree. This is very suspicious.
This is a weird one. We just called back something personnel, not emergency personnel, no, non.
The problem, you know, this is creating a beyond the supply chain issue and the fact that they're putting the screws to us. I don't know if this is a good idea because China, you know, we can rebuild our manufacturing base. I mean, it can't be done overnight, obviously. It would take a couple of years minimum, but at least now we're becoming a little more cautious. I think China's overplayed their hand.
It does seem like that to me as well. I mean, the problem is, and if they attack Taiwan or invade Taiwan or really ratchet that up at this point, I think it's really going to piss people off. Now, where are we going to go, though? What are we going to do? We're going to start manufacturing widgets here? Seriously? At the you know, you somebody working the line wants like $900 an hour plus benefits, and they want to work like 2 days and have 2 days off.
We still have Mexico.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
And we're bringing a lot of people across the border that would be glad to work for nothing.
So let me just translate. We can rebuild manufacturing in the U.S. because we have Mexico.
Yeah, pretty much.
We have Mexico. They can do it. I mean, there's something to be said about that, bringing it a lot closer.
Well, the other thing is we've learned something from watching the Chinese at work. In fact, I remember this years ago. This is about 20 years ago when I was in Suzhou, at the behest of Acer, the computer company, yep. and they had, they took us over there, and they had a, which is Taiwan company. They took us over there to a keyboard factory, and they made their keyboards in this factory in the town, which has a lot of high tech, not the biggest high tech of the country of the companies, but one of the more interesting towns, the end of the Silk Road. And I'm talking to the floor manager and the foreman about, you know, how much they're paying. People are paying them typically a good pay for China is $25 a week. And,
wow.
That was high. And,
and no benefits.
And right. And they didn't have the social network. They, you know, didn't have the safety net or anything. China's turned into a just exploitative. And, but these people were happy at the $25 a week. And the guy was moaning to me. He says, we get people, they're pretty good, but they still make mistakes. And this is a long, some time back. He says, once we start using robots, we can get rid of these people.
Ooh.
And we can make a better product. And that was their goal, is to move from the cheap labor to robots. Hey, we can do robots. We don't need to.
We have them.
We have them. We're robot people. So the Chinese won't really have an advantage at that point when the robots take over the manufacturing.
Right, because you don't have to have no toilet breaks, no injury breaks, no paternity, maternity,
none of that stuff.
No vacations, no reason that, you know, that they need to change their clothes or anything like that, or, you know, ask questions, no fighting on the floor, no need to promote somebody or demote. There's something
and
there.
If you look at today's modern car assembly line, you see like it's already half robots.
The only problem is that how far can you push robotics before, I wrote a piece on this, before they cannibalize consumption. So I call it consumption cannibalism, because they don't travel. They don't have a car. They don't eat. They don't wear clothes.
They don't buy the product.
Yeah, exactly. So now I'm making all these shirts. Nobody needs, you know, I'm making all these shirts for factory line workers. There's nobody in the factory line.
Well, at some point we can bring our manufacturing base back, but it's going to be robots.
Yep.
So it's not going to really do much for jobs.
Right.
But it will do something for the, security of the supply line, which is important.
I agree.
And there are people that have to work at these factories maintaining the robots. Mm.
Tesla's also suspended its production at the Shanghai plant since March 28th after the city staged a two-part lockdown, which was later expanded. So I want to talk about Easter for a second. Easter Sunday is coming up. Good Friday on Friday. Markets are closed on Friday. It's also Passover on Friday night. And but Easter is Sunday, right?
Yes.
This time of year, it's kind of interesting. There is a seasonable increase, sneaky Pete's, of egg prices that historically have happened year after year after year, right about this time of year. But we have massive eggflation right now.
Yeah, somebody sent me some Walmart prices. I mean, I always buy a kind of a premium egg. It's always overpriced anyway because, you know.
Yeah, you live in California, yeah.
Well, we live in California. We have a lot of chickens. You can do, you know, well, get a good egg is worth it because there's tasteless eggs that they sell for next to nothing. But the prices look like they tripled at Walmart for some of these eggs.
California is one of the biggest increases at all. The regional egg prices were up 31 cents for jumbo, 31 to 81 cents for extra large, and 30 to 81 cents for large, 7 to 70 cents higher for medium, and up 10 cents for small. New York egg price unchanged. But here's a chart. Look at this. This I think you'll find very interesting. The three-year average going on a seasonal base. So we see where that is, right? That it kicks up right at the end of March and then comes down sharply.
Yeah, so, it's definitely a cycle.
But look at this 2022 number.
Yeah, that doesn't look right.
That's what it is. It's a $2.80 per dozen.
Well, that means it's going to come down shortly.
Yeah, it will, of course. But now you have the avian flu on top of everything else. Poultry prices also moving up over 32% year over year. And I don't know how much have you bought chicken recently by the have you bought chicken breasts or thighs?
Not really. I mean, I know how the prices are changing, but I don't normally eat. I'm sorry to say this to people who like chicken. I really don't like eating chicken. I'm just, and it's not because I don't, you know, I can't cook it so it's edible, but it's just like, I've had so much chicken throughout my life. I'm just sick of chicken. I don't like chicken. I mean, I can sometimes the Chinese can prepare it in such a way that I can choke it down.
A good fried chicken you'll eat a good fried chicken.
If it's a really good piece of fried chicken, I can manage that. But it's like so few and far between. It's just nothing. I don't relish it. I don't yearn for chicken. I don't like chicken.
Does anybody yearn for chicken? Yearns for chicken?
Somebody must. I like duck.
I eat chicken a lot. I must tell you, I do eat a lot of chicken. It's just it's to me, it's just if I'm not cooking something good and making something, you know, and I just need to shove something in my face. Chicken's really easy. It's no carbs and low calorie.
Yeah, it's probably not unhealthy, but anyway, I'm reminded of my, since we're talking about it, the Costco $5 chicken, $4.95, whatever that chicken they sell is rotisserie chicken at Costco, which is a tremendously product at a really good price, and they never jacked up the price on it. They could have two or three times by now. And everybody else has rotisserie chicken like Whole Foods and everyone else for $8, $9, just $4 or $5. It's really tasty. If I just buy one, I don't even buy that anymore. I just don't like chicken.
All right. So just to summarize, you don't like chicken.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it, huh? Well, sounds here's like the deal. It, yeah. At my cheap place that I go to, usually it's anywhere from $1.99 to $2.99 a pound, which is, it's cheap. I'll give you that. It's definitely cheap. That place is now $4.99 a pound. So pretty much doubled. At like a Whole Foods, it's $7 or $8 a pound. Publix, it's $6 a pound.
Yeah.
So.
Too high.
Too high. And here is a chart that's really dramatic. You can see all these charts and this information over on DH Unplugged. Go to the show notes of episode number 601. And while you're there, by the way, while you're there, take a moment, stop, inhale, and exhale a donation. Right there, you can click the button that says donate now. Help along with all the others that have helped the show with this price, the service, you know, all the stuff that goes into this, right? All the cost factors that go into the show, you can help out with. And of course, the price of chicken going up as much as it is, you should be helping out the show as well, because one of the best values that you can get anywhere.
That's a fact.
Yep. Here's a chart, world food prices. Look at that. Now,
yeah, they're way up there.
No, but I need you to look at the bottom and look at the dates. This isn't just like the last few days.
Yeah.
This is 1990. So when we look at food prices from 1990, actually it's from 1189. And we look at where they've gone, deflationary times, like in 2000, 2001, when we had a recession. Fast forward, the spike up once again, like we saw back in 2005. These are the kind of things that screw with markets, you know. These are the kind of things where, even though we've heard so many times, John, that, oh, the price of gas doesn't affect how consumers spend. Well, we know that's crap, right? So
yeah, it makes a big difference.
Makes a big difference. You have skyrocketing food costs that go from 120 to 159, so 30 points on average for this basket of food and agricultural pricing in a matter of 6 months. That's not funny. You know, that's starting to get third world looking. So big problems around the world. And unfortunately, you know who this hits the hardest? The poorest of people.
Yeah, the people that the Democrats are supposedly helping out.
Yeah, that's
just helping them starve to death.
That's not, oh God. Yep. Well, let's see what else we got here. Oh, there's so much going on here. So much going on, not so much time. I thought I had not enough, too. New space flight, hot air balloon at 100,000 feet. It's going to cost you $125,000. 6-hour journey. And there's a bar.
Is the bar on the balloon?
Bar on the balloon.
bar? How big is this? Is the cockpit of this
thing? It's pretty big. The thing is, it's like a, it looks more like a dirigible.
Do they drop, they don't drop it from a balloon and then crash land in the ocean?
No. It's like a big old.
It's a blimp.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's a high altitude blimp.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
Can you imagine that thing getting caught in some sort of high altitude storm?
I was thinking that. How do they even control it at that level? Winds are crazy up there. Winds are crazy. Right?
I don't know.
Let's see here.
By the way, this last thing, they went to the space station. These guys, I think 8 people or something, at 55, they dropped $55 million a piece.
Who did that?
Sorry?
Who did that?
So you don't know this either, do you?
No.
This has been kept from the American news. This news has been kept from the American public.
So this is space.
Elon Musk's boys sent up, I believe, 8 people on a journey to the space station to be there for a week and a couple of days.
Yes,
yeah, and actually do work.
3 visitors head to space station. $55 million each. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
That happened already?
Yeah, they're up there.
Wow. Wow, that was quiet.
Oh, I think there's blowback. I think people are getting sick of watching rich people throw away. You know what you can do? You can do a lot of good things with $55 million.
Well, 55 times 3, that's 165 million.
There's only 3 that paid the $55 million. I thought they sent 8 people up.
3 visitors, it said. I mean, it could be more people after this.
I'm sure there will.
For the second private charter. For the second private charter. Who are these people that are paying $55 million? Why is it $55 million?
But they put them to work. That's the kicker to me. They can't just lounge. They got to get to work. They got jobs to do up there.
Huh.
You know the old idea of buying yourself a job? This is ridiculous.
3 customers. Larry Connor of Dayton, Ohio, who runs the Connor Group. Mark Pathy, founder and CEO of Montreal's Maverick Corp. And Israel's Eitan Stebe, a former fighter pilot and founding partner of Vital Capital. Yeah, that's kind of gross. All right. Well, so once again, it's commercialized.
Well, I don't see any fault in that, but it's astonishing to me that this is the price.
Yep. let's see what else here we have. Musk. We mentioned Musk was making news. He buys a 9% stake in Twitter, passive filing. Remember, I just said that, a passive filing. So that means that he's just buying a position for investing. He announces a day later the board of directors position. Again, a passive filing. Then he goes on Twitter with all sorts of changes over the weekend. You know, we should lower the cost of the Twitter Blue thing, and we should do this. Again, a passive filing.
Yeah.
Then Saturday he announces.
The man does not know the meaning of the word passive. He's a natural activist.
It's unbelievable. Saturday night he announces he will not be taking a board position. Then he does a weekend poll. He asks people to vote on whether Twitter should drop the W from its name. Is he a child? I know he's the richest guy around, but what is he doing?
He is a troll of the highest order. He's a troll with money.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you want to call it Titter? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah,
Titter. So ridiculous.
Drop the W.
And
this is a scam. He just does this. He's not serious.
How could he do all this? I can barely tweet a few times a day if I had to.
He's got probably people working for him.
Other maniacs that are tweeting weird shit? It's unbelievable.
Yes, people he trusts.
People. But he did delete a lot of the tweets over the weekend. Now, here's the deal. As a passive investor, you're only allowed to buy up to a certain amount of the stock. But as an investor, you could buy a lot more. If you're on the board, you're limited to 14.9% of the company.
There's some cynics that believe he didn't join the board because he wants to get more stock than he wants to go beyond 14 point something.
Yeah, exactly. Plus, if he's on the board, he has certain restrictions of what he can say.
Right. So he doesn't like that either.
No one puts baby in the corner. you know?
Yeah.
So I think that the big issue here is that I really do believe that for whatever reason, someone, it was like a lackey that filed this form because his problems, he's probably going to get a blowback from the SEC on it as a passive stake.
Yeah, he's been winning most of those battles.
Well, it's going to cost money and he's just going to.
I didn't care.
He doesn't care. Doesn't care. It would be like you or I doing something. It's like, it's going to cost you $10 fine. Like, okay, doing it. Right? Just for the fun of it. So.
Yeah.
Split total raise, Tesla, Amazon 21, GameStop, Shopify 10-1, Google. All that's going. Shopify's doing a 10-1, but with founders' shares to protect the voting rights. Crude prices down, more than China lockdowns. What else we got here? Yield curve, bond route. Okay, here's the, here's your bond route. 1977. Scroll down a little bit and see the little button that says bond route there.
Bond route. Splits crude. Bond falling bob. Yeah. Route. R-O-U-T.
Yep. So look at this. Since 1977, the Barclays aggregate. It used to be called Barclays aggregate is what it is. It used to be called the Merrill Lynch Barclays. Now it's the Bloomberg, but whatever. It's called the Barclays Bloomberg Barclays aggregate of bonds. Since 1977, you see a lot of green there, right? You know, generally speaking, bonds have done well over years, right?
Yeah, there's only one, two, three, four, and maybe five instances where it was negative.
Right, because you include not only the bond itself, but the interest rate. You know, you get a total return.
Whole thing. It's a calculation.
So 2022, if we stop right now and we look at historical returns, it is the worst year going back at least till 77.
Yeah.
If we just stopped right here.
Yes, minus 7.2%.
Which is a pretty amazing
from
thing.
Year to date. That's year from to date. January.
Yeah. Very, very bad showing. Even when we saw other rate increases back in the 80s. And when we saw things in 2000, let's say 17, 16. Or post, look at 1999. And even in 2000 and 2021. When there was a lot going on then, not big problems there. But recessionary years oftentimes are preceded by bonds moving down pretty ugly. Something to consider.
Yeah, it didn't happen in 2007 through 2009 recession.
Right. But, you know, that's the big difference right now. Most of the people trading these days, if they're under the age of 40, have never seen an environment that interest rates are going up.
Yeah, they can't figure this one out.
Yeah. All right, a couple of other pieces of news here. There's a Mile High Club story we could talk about. A guy who's ambidextrous, I guess. A man on Southwest Airlines flight has been banned for life after allegedly masturbating midair next to a female passenger. When the flight landed in Phoenix, the woman told the police office that he saw McGarrity masturbating on four separate occasions using both his left and his right hands. Banned for life.
It's this guy's problem.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's see. We only have a few minutes left here. We have a limerick. I'm going to go real quickly from Matthew Taylor. And we'll go into the stock picks in a second here after that. But Matthew Taylor's limericks. The rate hikes are coming. It's true. The rate hikes are coming. It's true. Powell's saying
you rehearse these ever?
No. The rate hikes is coming. The rate hikes are coming. It's true. Powell saying the party is through. As shrinkflation gets worse, we must shorten our verse. Next week, Fed-inspired haiku.
In A.
Oh. There you go, Matt. Nicely
that was
done.
Dynamite.
Nicely yeah. done.
Everything, it looks good, it sounded good, it's got good material, and has a punchline.
There you go, Matt, congratulations. Not many people get an A.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk. along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
Things are looking good. You backed off on your FVC Bancorp down.
It's under 100%. Ugh. Now it's at 93.96.
So disappointing.
Oh, no.
UPS stopped out. Universal Logistics stopped out. 8% up. Crane Shares China up 2.5%. Stopped out. UPS was up 8.5%. Eastman Kodak stopped out. Loss of 7.6%. NEO stopped out. Loss of 6.6%. My pick from 330, Upstart, the short. I can't read that. What does it say?
The one short on the thing here, which means, you know, we maybe should start thinking in these terms, because this is a cycle, shorts and longs. The shorts don't last that long. But you nail it within, what, 1 week?
2 weeks.
Or what, 2 weeks. 24, almost 25% up on a short of Upstart Holdings.
Yep.
It went from 117 to 87. And that's the winner of the week. Yeah.
That's the winner. I am not going to add any names right now. The reason is, let me tell you why. We're entering into earnings season. We have a little war going on. We have PPI and inflation coming out. There are headwinds like crazy. And to add something until I see what's going on with regard.
I agree. I got nothing either. Nothing. Same reason.
Nothing.
It's crazy.
Huh. I'm not going to add anything right now. Anything else? We do have one thing to talk about. Piece of business that we need to talk about. We need a new stock for the close to the pin. So what do we have last time? We had uranium last time, right?
Yeah.
So are there any other interesting names out there? You want to do Twitter? With all
yes, there would be some action going on, yep, because of the nature of Musk. Yes,
let's do Twitter.
A great idea.
Twitter, we're going to do they're complaining that we have no picks. You know, we're just playing it smart. We got 20 stocks on our list to begin with.
This list is too big.
It's too big. It's just
19. Luckily, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 already just kicked off this last couple of weeks. And now it's getting down a little bit, but we want our picks to be good.
I agree. All right, we're going to end the show a little bit short this week. It's time on the live show, a little bit short on the other show because we had the snafu in the beginning, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll be back next week, right?
As far as I know. More birthdays this month.
And if you have nothing else better to do, maybe on this coming Thursday, you'll do a show with Adam.
I think so.
Yeah, let him know that you spoke to me about it.
I'll let him know that you are very unhappy with him and his feelings towards you.
All right, I'll see you again next week.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.